Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be in the studio with my beautiful sister, Tara, who's a little under the weather. And it's just that time of year where all the sicknesses are let loose, and we just got to pray for healing. We have been in Tara's study called Wishing Forward for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
It's been 3 months.
I know, is that crazy?
This isn't out published yet, but it's a work in progress, and she's actually teaching it at the Open Door Mission right now, which is exciting. They are blessed. Today we will be in Wishing Forward Chapter 4, which is when Jesus prayed about a decision.
It's amazing.
And are we always making decisions with or without God?
We are, all day long.
All day.
It's crazy. And the power of prayer. This whole series is about the power of prayer. And for those that maybe are listening for the first time, the reason why I chose Wishing Forward is that when Scripture, there's seven times in Luke where it says Jesus prayed. And when it says that, it's referring to the Greek word prosoukomai, which means to wish forward, to desire, to pray. And so I chose to title this series Wishing Forward, Seven Moments Jesus Prayed. And for us to focus in, because Jesus had a focus of moving forward towards Jerusalem, the cross, to die for our sins. And in each of these moments, it's just that one more step towards what he came to do and fulfill in the will of the Father. Before we get completely focused, I told the men and women at the mission that I was going to tell them hi and that I love them. So if you're listening because they've started tuning in, just know that this is a shout out because you're our men and women, and I just love my class at the Open Door. And so today what we're going to do is I'm going to story through in Luke 6. This is where Jesus, at this point in his ministry, he begins to pull out the men that he's going to use to make the church grow. And, you know, this is a big time, an important time of decision. And I was telling Sabrina before the show began that the more I meditate on this particular chapter, the more I realize how much is packed in a very short period of time, and how much opposition comes up. And then as I think about him praying in a time of decision in the face of that opposition, the rejection, and even in the choice of the decision, he's even choosing a traitor. He's choosing one he knows that will oppose him and reject him. It just shows you the sweetness of Jesus. And so I want that to be on our minds as I begin to story through what would be Luke 6 up to about verse 28, okay? So it didn't matter what Jesus was doing, whether he was in the grain fields with his disciples or if he was in the synagogues, he remained faithful to what the Father had sent him to do. He proved by his words and he proved by his actions he truly was the Lord of the Sabbath. Now the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were always watching him. And they were watching him with the intent to accuse him. And as they were watching and observing him, they wanted him to make a mistake. That was their goal. That's what they were hoping to see, is that Jesus would mess up. And Jesus knew that they were watching him. And he knew what their thoughts were. And he knew that they intended to catch him in a mistake. And yet, he did not stop what he was doing. He continued preaching and teaching and healing to prove to them he truly was the Lord of the Sabbath. And this just infuriated the religious leaders. The Pharisees it made them so mad. And but Jesus would not allow that opposition to stop him. So on one of those days, he went up to the mountain to pray. And he ended up spending the entire night praying to seek God's will, because it had reached the time in his ministry when he needed to call the 12 disciples, 12 of them to be his apostles. He had gathered all the disciples to him, and he looked out amongst them, and he chose 12 and named them as his apostles. Some of them that he invited were Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. He invited Philip and Bartholomew. He invited Matthew and Thomas. He invited James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot. And he also invited Judas, who was the son of James. And then he invited Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. Now he gathered these men, and he went down the mountain. And once again, the crowds gathered around him. The people were from everywhere. They were from Judea, Jerusalem, Tyrus, Sidon. I mean, they were from everywhere. And so Jesus began to teach. And as the people were listening, they were being healed. And it just was crazy. Even those with troubled spirits were finding that they were healed. They were so desperate for Jesus to touch them, because literally scripture tells us that the power was coming out of him and people were finding healing, so that all who touched him were healed. Now Jesus, when he looked out at his disciples, he began to give them the Beatitudes. And he looked at them and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours will be the kingdom of God." And then he looked out and he said, "Blessed are you for who are hungry, who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. And for those who weep now, you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. And rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for great," he told them, "is your reward in heaven. Because this is how their fathers treated the prophets." But then he went and told them the woes. And he looked out and he said, "Woe if you are rich now, for you've received what comfort you shall have." And he looked out and he said, "Woe for you who are fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, because you will mourn and you will weep. And woe to you when men speak well of you, for this is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you," and you know he paused at that point, "you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you." Okay, that's today's passage that we're going to cover for the next month, actually for the whole month, not just today. This is huge. Okay, now, as I was going through this morning, I was just, "God, this is crazy. I don't know how I hadn't caught it so in depth before," but I just was like writing out to the side. And this section starts off with talking about him being faithful and recognizing his faithfulness and proving that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. But then it shows the opposition that comes. Mm. It shows the religious leaders mm-hmm. and the Pharisees, and how they were just waiting for an opportunity to catch him. Then it shows him making the choice of the 12. Well, we have hindsight's 20/20. We know for a fact that one of the 12 is a traitor. And then it shows how those who have troubled spirits come and they find healing. And it goes into the Beatitudes. And the whole focus of his teaching time with the Beatitudes, it's actually dealing with that which is an opposition in our life. Every aspect of opposition we will have to deal with. Poverty, wealth, laughter, tears. Think about it. Rejection, mm-hmm. persecution, the rewards of man's words, the rejection of man's words. He's showing us the comparison and contrast. In every single one of those situations, we are going to be required to make a choice, to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And that's why this section's called Jesus Prayed in Times of Decision. I want us to look at this and begin to examine and to understand that Jesus was wishing forward in times of decision because he understood the urgency of the mission that the Father had given him. And now he is trying to solidify within those that are his followers. And at this point, the commentators believe that there's about 72 solid disciples following him. And the reason why they focus in and say possibly 72 is there's a passage in Mark where he sends out the 72 to go preaching and teaching. So as he's doing this, they're believing that, that there's probably about 72 at this point. It ends, in the end of his ministry at the Ascension, there's 120 followers that go to Jerusalem to pray, waiting for the Holy Spirit. So what we have to understand is this is not a large group that he pulls these 12 from. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to prepare their hearts. You're going to have some seriously hard choices to make. And the way Scripture's laid out, and by having this story set together, we get to see how that opposition and that rejection comes. And it helps us to see profoundly the importance behind why we need to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that, let's just open up the door. I mean, Sabrina, you know, since you have begun in the ministry, have you dealt with opposition?
I know. I think you were the first one to tell me that some of my worst enemies will be in church.
Oh, no.
And I thought, because I remember one day I had talked to you and I said, wouldn't it be great to work in a church? This was when I was really new. Do you remember?
Yeah.
You probably know. But
I probably know what story you're going to tell.
And you just said, people in church are the same as people outside the church, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think I've realized that more and more. I get more and more opposition when the more that I have opportunities to grow and stretch, the more my haters become my motivators.
Ooh, that's a good line, Sabrina.
Because, you know, it's not going to stop what God has for me.
Mm-mm.
Even if people want, you know, people have agendas and they want to control and they want to, you know. But God has such a bigger plan, and you can't put him in a box.
You can't.
When he tells you to go, you go.
Yeah.
And I definitely have opposition. Every new thing, especially if it's something new, there's always opposition.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I know, but you prepared my heart, so.
Well, you want to hear.
I mean, God through.
This is a physical, my body is my opposition right now. But my pastor has asked me to be the prayer chair for our church moving forward and planting satellites. Within 2 days of him asking me to be the prayer chair, I lost my voice. And it was several weeks before I got my voice back after he asked me. It was the most bizarre thing, the very thing I needed in order to lead out in prayer. And Sabrina, you've been with me in a lot of group settings. It's never been an issue for somebody to say, speak up. I'm pretty much allowed. I'm able to really speak out.
Yeah.
And I think it's the very first time in my life I was in a large group setting. I was called upon to lead out in prayer, and I had somebody shout out, speak up! And I couldn't because I had no voice. My voice could not go higher. And there was nothing I could do about it. So, like, right now, I feel like my body is opposing me, which is crazy. But at a time when I've been asked to do a lot of different types of recordings and then leading out in prayer, both in pageant prayer and for our church, you know, and then my voice was gone. I'm like, what is with that? You know, it's just crazy how it can come in so many different forms. I think the hardest part is that when it's within the church is that we count each other as those who should be a part of the faithful. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it harder when it comes from that realm. But when we look at this particular passage, if you go into Luke, and it's talking about Jesus going out, it says that he knew what was in their thoughts. He knew. He knew. It says, but Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand. He was on this particular section. I didn't story that story set, but that's where it comes from. He knew their thoughts, that they were trying to trick him. They were trying to trick him. And he would not stop what, you know, the Father had given him to do. He pressed forward. And for us, as we think through all the circumstances we're going to face, and whether we are a believer or a pre-believer, maybe we have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's okay. But when we take the time to seek the Father in prayer, we can trust the fact that because the Father gave Jesus the answer, the Father will also give us answers. Mm-hmm. And so it's a modeling for us opportunity to pray. Okay? And so Whether it's the opposition of the religious leaders or in the making of a most important decision in praying all night for this group of 12. And we'll be in the next few weeks talking about, you know, the choice of the 12 and the seriousness of these 12 men mm-hmm. that were appointed to be the ones to essentially plant the church. And I posted on Facebook this morning for us as we were preparing to come, and I love it. It's so sweet because I have instant posts of people, you know, my dad all the way in Ohio is like, "Hon, I'm, you know, praying," you know, and a friend in Oklahoma, you know, it's like instant. They're praying in our behalf. And I posted as like, you know, I asked myself the question, you know, I've never prayed all night for anything. Now, I have been in bed and not slept all night and gone in and out of prayer mm-hmm. all night long. But I have not been in the position of on my knees all night in prayer for anything. Now, I have been woke up at 1 a.m. and prayed from that point forward. But I have not started off a night and said, I am going to miss a night of prayer because I'm going to pray for this whole decision. That's not something I have ever done. Mm-mm. I haven't felt compelled to. Now, I have been woke up and prayed from that point forward and stuff, but not anything like Jesus taking an entire night to pray for 12 men. An entire night to hear from the Father who he should pick. And in the weeks to come, we will actually examine, you know, well, what did the 12 men, the group of 12, they're so diverse. And we'll examine that. And so be thinking about what's the most pressing thing that you have in your life and how serious have we, and I say we because I cannot eliminate me from this, been in our position of prayer. Because I think for the most part in Christendom, we're weak. At least I know I am. Mm-hmm. I know yeah. It's the area I feel that I am the weakest in my walk. I don't feel that I am anywhere near what I need to be as far as walking forward in prayer. And this time, the decisions that he's making, we really have to think through how it is going to affect us. So by way of closing and preparation for next week, I want you to see that he's wishing forward, trusting God to help him make this decision and understanding that even though he knows amongst the men he's choosing there is a traitor, he knows that he has to choose that traitor. So there's a big trust issue happening right here and the choosing of the 12 because he has to trustworthiness to the Father telling him who it's to be, even to the one who's to be his traitor and pick him and then pick him and love him in such a way that nobody knows that he's the traitor. That's crazy huge. Could we be so faithful in prayer? Come back next week and we can talk about it more. God bless.